Good day, everyone. A warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. It seems that humanitarian aid has emerged to serve as a key political battleground in the Venezuela crisis. President Nicolas Maduro has blocked aid, accusing the U.S. of using the issue to stir trouble in his country. He has shut the Brazil border and saying that he may do the same to the Colombia border if need be. Now, in defiance, self-proclaimed President Juan Guaido insists that he will personally collect food and medicine gathered at the border on Saturday. Maduro and Russia regard the U.S. aid as a move aimed at toppling the Caracas government. What's the U.S. seeking by pushing for the aid? Is it really concerned about a dire economic situation in Venezuela? We will discuss this issue after a report.
A tense standoff between Venezuela's U.S.-backed opposition leader Juan Guaido and President Nicolas Maduro over allowing in humanitarian aid has drawn reactions from other world countries. Russia has accused the U.S. of using aid deliveries as a ploy to carry out military action against the Maduro government.
It can cause clashes between the supporters and the opponents of the current regime and serve as a convenient pretext for conducting military action to topple the current legitimate president of the country.
China has also produced a similar reaction.
If the so-called humanitarian assistance were forcefully sent to Venezuela, it might trigger conflict and lead to serious consequences. This is not what anyone wants to see. China is against a military intervention in Venezuela and against any behavior that might cause escalation or even turmoil in Venezuela.
President Maduro has ordered the closure of Venezuela's land border with Brazil and threatened to close the frontier with Colombia to prevent the American-supplied assistance from entering the country. The Venezuelan president says he's happy to accept aid shipments overseen by the UN, but he has slammed the aid Guaido seeks to bring in as a precursor to a U.S. military intervention in the oil-rich country and also a strategy to overthrow his government. Guaido, who sparked a deep crisis last month by declaring himself the interim leader, has vowed to move aid from the U.S. and other nations inside Venezuela in defiance of the Maduro government. Maduro has accused the opposition of seeking to stage a coup with the support of the U.S., which he said is seeking to govern Venezuela from Washington. The accusation by Maduro is reminiscent of the 2002 coup against late Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, which only lasted 48 hours. At that time, then U.S. President George W. Bush endorsed the coup leader. President Donald Trump also recognized Guaido as the Latin American nation's interim president and didn't exclude the possibility of using military force against Maduro. The U.S.'s long history of intervening in Latin American nations has raised fears that the ongoing political tensions in Venezuela could snowball into uncontrolled violence and ultimately force Venezuelans to bear the brunt of U.S. intervention.
Now let's start discussing the issue. Joining me will be writer, anti-imperialist activist Shara Labash from Washington, D.C., and senior analyst with Foreign Policy in Focus, Ian Williams, who's joining us out of New York. Good to have you with us both. Now, beginning with Shara Labash, President Nicolas Maduro has rejected the U.S. aid offer. He's saying that this is part of a broader attempt to overthrow his government. Russia is also saying that aid is a pretext for military action. How valid are their concerns?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Press TV for being another outlet, another voice, along with Telesur, that counterbalances the kind of media that we get here in the United States.
Sure, go ahead, please, with your comments.
The Washington Post is reporting that two people have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, to start, that the blood is on President Trump's hands. It's on the so-called interim President Guaido, who has been a willing puppet to put this confrontation into place.
Now let's go to New York and ask Ian Williams. Ian, what do you think the so-called humanitarian aid from Washington is really aimed at?
Well, obviously it is aimed at causing trouble, but if I were a Venezuelan, I'd say, bring me more trouble. I want that humanitarian aid. Economic and social conditions in Venezuela are totally perilous. And I think one of the most stupid of many stupid things that Maduro has done is to block it. Because what he's saying to his own people is, I am prepared to make political points over your starving children. And, you know, I have to remember, it's funny that Russia should raise this. Russia accepted aid from America after the revolution and during the Civil War without too much compunction. It accepted aid during the Second World War, of course, but that's another story. Now, there's no innocent people here. There's every bit as much reason to describe Maduro as Moscow's puppet as there is to describe Guaido as Washington's puppet. There are Venezuelans on both sides here, and it appears that the majority of Venezuelans were sick of Maduro as president. He disqualified the opposition candidates. He rigged the election so that only people who half agreed with him could stand. So, I mean, this is not a coup. It's every bit as constitutional as what Maduro has done by declaring a constituent assembly when after he lost, remember, the National Assembly elections. And the Constitution provides that in the absence of a legitimate candidate, the National Assembly could appoint somebody. So they did that. That all this talk of a coup, there are two sides in this, but all this talk of a coup is really weird. You know, I've seen coups before. Coups are when large bodies of armed men and security forces take over the government and repress the people. Right. In this particular case, Maduro has the army, he has the security forces, he has the government, and he's complaining about a coup. This does not compute. I'm sorry. But the aid, yes, the US is trying to stir up there. And Maduro's best friend in this has obviously got to be Trump and his big mouth and stupidity, where he is falling for intervention and threatening things, are Maduro's only hope of rallying any support from ordinary Venezuelans. Because the one thing both sides agree on is they do not want to become yet another battlefield for a U.S. war of liberation, as Iraq and Syria suffered. It's a very perilous thing. The worst thing, almost the worst thing in the world, apart from after France, would be to be liberated by the United States. It guarantees you 20 years of war and devastation afterwards, if you look at the Middle Eastern examples.
Right. Okay, let's go back to Washington. Cheryl, it seems that the Venezuelan opposition wants to make use of this aid delivery thing to emphasize Maduro's illegitimacy. Do you agree?
No. President Maduro received 6.2 million votes in the May 20th election. This is not a question of illegitimacy. This is a question of the United States trying to gain domination over the oil like it had before President Chavez. Much has changed since 1998 when President Chavez was elected. The world has changed. There's an economic crisis here in the United States and around the globe. We cannot stand for the United States trying to take over the resources and sow destruction and war in its path all around the globe. It's done it in North Africa, it's done it in the Middle East, and now it's attempting to do it in Latin America as well, and we have to say no.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ian, the United Nations, the Red Cross, and other relief organizations, they have refused to work with the U.S. in terms of delivering the aid to Venezuela. Well, they argue that the U.S. aid is politically motivated. Is the U.S. aid really for humanitarian purposes?
It can't be for humanitarian purposes. If you're starving and someone is trying to get you food, that's a humanitarian purpose, or at least a humanitarian consequence. It might be your real aim of stirring it up politically, but people in Venezuela do need food, they do need fuel, they do need medicines, and that is as a result of this regime's complete incompetence and also dishonesty. Venezuela is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. It's not a socialist paradise, it's a kleptomaniac's paradise. The biggest customer for its oil all of those years and even now is the United States. So yes, the United States is interested, but they've been buying the oil. They haven't boycotted it. It's not like Iran. They haven't said, don't buy it. They've been buying it and giving Chavez and then Maduro the dollars with which he's done his political work around the Caribbean and Central America. This is a far more complex issue than simply jumping to pro-Moscow, pro-Caracas politics or not. The U.S. is playing a bad role, as it almost invariably does, but particularly in light of Trump, of course, who, I think if you were dying on the street and Trump came to you with an oxygen mask, you'd have at least several thoughts about it. It is not that simplistic. There is a genuine civil conflict in Venezuela. A considerable proportion of the people, and at the very least, we can say it's approaching half, if not more than half, want Maduro to go and to be fair and legitimate elections. The National Assembly vote was won by the opposition. It was disregarded by Maduro, who is now citing the Constitution. The real Constitution is let the people speak, have a vote. And that's what has been proposed. Remember, 2 million Venezuelans have voted with their feet. They've gone across those borders with Colombia and Brazil. They've gone as penniless refugees because they don't have enough food at home. This is not an advertisement for socialism. In fact, you know, as a democratic socialist myself, I would say that possibly the worst thing that's happened to socialism as a cause is the fact that Maduro has allowed people like Trump to point to Venezuela as an example of socialism. And like I said, it isn't. It's an example of kleptocracy and tyranny.
Okay.
And the fact that there was an original election that was won by Chavez, that was a long time ago.
True.
And the chain of legitimacy, the links are breaking thinner every time.
Okay, Cheryl, you want to have your comments? Go ahead.
Yes. What my colleague is saying is not true about Venezuela. And you talk about the people who are leaving Venezuela. What about the people who are on the border of the United States? If you look at what the U.S. policy has done throughout Central America, throughout Latin America, and throughout the world, it has created a huge refugee crisis that dwarfs anything that would that anyone can point to in terms of Venezuela. This is something that the United States has instigated. They tried to get all of the opposition parties not to participate in the elections, and in fact, the ones who did were vilified. Guaido didn't even run in the election. Who is he? He was trained in Washington. He was trained in Washington. We have to look at this historically and in a global sense. The United States has to stop the sanctions, stop the war, has to get out of Venezuela and Latin America and quit meddling in everybody else's internal affairs. That is, you know, the question is not Maduro. The question is not Venezuela. The question is the United States and what it's doing with a $5.9 trillion has been spent by the U.S. military just on the books, not including all the secret funds, since 9/11, 2001. So, you know, there's a huge amount of resources that are being put into the U.S. military, and they are going to use it. Why is Elliot Abrams going there on a military why is he going there at all? But
exactly.
He's going there on a military helicopter to oversee this confrontation.
Exactly.
This has nothing to do with the poor and working people of Venezuela who have gotten 2.5 million houses, whose children are going to school, who are receiving food and medicine, and are willing to accept assistance from around the world, but are not willing to accept it on U.S. tanks and military helicopters.
That's right. They also said they will accept
Thank
it from
you.
Russia that's ready for that. And Ian, Cheryl also talked about sanctions. If the U.S. is really concerned about a humanitarian situation in Venezuela, it can simply remove those sanctions that are deepening and further aggravating the misery of the civilian population.
this is another U.S. mistake. They did this in Cuba. With sanctions, they're giving an excuse to the government. It's not the sanctions causing the shortage of medicines in Venezuela. It's not the sanctions causing the fact that teachers don't get paid in Venezuela. It's not the sanctions that have driven 2 million people across the border. It's the mismanagement and corruption of the Maduro regime. They might not be helped very much by the US sanctions, but the sanctions are pretty much targeted against the figureheads of the regime, as far as I can tell. They are still buying the oil. It's not like sanctions on Iran. They are still buying the oil and handing over petrodollars in return for it. So, except it might now go to what they're recognizing as the regime, but so far, the sanctions can't be blamed for this. It is not the idyllic socialist paradise that your interlocutor has just said. Over 2 million people have fled across the borders. They're not wedged up against the border in Brazil and Colombia because the Latin American countries have better traditions on these things than the United States. They're going across there. They voted with their feet. That's far more people than are crowding the U.S. border, which, you know, I agree with everything that you said about the United States. That does not, this type of whataboutery does not excuse or make Maduro in any way some type of socialist hero or anti-imperialist hero.
Well, there are concerns and problems, economic problems in Venezuela. Ian Williams, everybody agrees with that. Also, there was this special rapporteur, a special envoy to Venezuela, whose report was never reported. And we talked to him, and he said that sanctions are hurting Venezuelans. Anyway, let me go to Cheryl. A book by former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe reveals that Trump privately discussed going to war with Venezuela in 2017 because, quote, they have all the oil and that they are in the U.S. back door. Are we looking for a repeat of the Iraq scenario?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
The main question is, should we expect a repeat of the Iraq war scenario?
Well, I think we're starting to see it unfold. I want to remind the viewers that in 2002, when there was a coup against President Chavez, there was a lie that was told, basically, a lie that was told that the Bolivarian Chavistas were the ones who were shooting on demonstrators. It was shown by an Irish TV team that was there and later made a movie called The Revolution Will Not Be Televised, that these reports by Western media, by the corporate media, were totally false, and they were used as an excuse for the United States to support that coup. We have to be very vigilant that people do not get trapped into supporting a false war by some tragic occurrence in Venezuela that winds up being an excuse.
Right. Now, let's go to New York here. Ian, what do you think about that? Trump is reported to have said that they have all the oil in Venezuela and they are in the U.S. back door.
Well, he's got a very twisted sense of geography. There's a lot of water and a lot of land between Venezuela and the United States. But more to the point is, very few people, apart from Donald Trump, are talking about military intervention. He is the idiot who is putting this around. It's not feasible. By the way, by all accounts, according to the recently defected Venezuelan general who has turned against Maduro, the Venezuelan army wouldn't stand a chance if there were intervention. Partly because of its own poor morale and the fact that they're not getting fed either. You know, this is a real chaotic country. Right. More to the point is, nobody is... You can oppose Maduro, you can oppose military intervention by Donald Trump without in any way trying to whitewash the crimes of Maduro and the incompetence of Maduro. It's perfectly possible to have these positions. You don't have to be reflexive and say that Maduro is against the US, therefore he must be right. That lesson would have given us to glorify Hitler. I mean, he was against the U.S., so he must have been right.
Okay, Ian, we're
Stalin
running out of time.
Was against the U.S., so he must have been right. This type of reflexive binary thinking is no good. It's perfectly feasible to point out that the Maduro regime is extremely unpopular, is holding on to power by unscrupulous means, has mismanaged
right.
the
Ian,
economy.
I have to jump in. We're running out
Donald
of time.
Trump and his plans.
Ian, we only have less than 1 minute time left. The one last question for both of you. Each one of you have 30 seconds only. Cheryl, how likely is a U.S. military intervention in Venezuela? Very briefly.
It feels like it's very likely. And the argument that's being presented by the other respondent here is an argument to disarm the people around the world who are saying no war on Venezuela, U.S. out, no sanctions.
Okay, Ian Williams.
No U.S. war on Venezuela. Most Venezuelans agree with that as well. And I think it's highly unlikely. Trump might try it. But he doesn't have a coalition that's prepared to support this anywhere else in the world.
Okay.
He doesn't have the forces at home. The American people, jaded though they are sick of the wars that they've already been embroiled in and the consequences. I really can't see this happening. Almost Trump would have to stage a military coup in Washington to be able to wage a war in Venezuela. And I hope that there's too much sanity even in the Pentagon to countenance that at the moment.
Okay, unfortunately we're out of time. Let me thank our guests. We had writer and anti-imperialist activist Cheryl LaBoche from Washington, D.C., and senior analyst with Foreign Policy and Focus Ian Williams from New York. And thank you for watching the debate. We'll see you soon.